I try. Promise to keep me, never to leave me, never ever come short of this hurt. I've got to fast and pray, stay in the narrow way. Keep my life clean every day. I want to go with him when he comes back. Strength of my life. He moves all pain, misery, and strife. He promised to keep me, never to leave me, never ever come short of his word. I've got to fast and pray, stay in the narrow way. Keep my life clean every day. I want to go with him.
Oh, clubs every Sunday at 9 a.m. These are our announcements for August. Community Sunday, August the 2nd, 2026. August the 3rd through the 7th, 2026 is BGSCIL, Congress of Christian Education. August the 9th, 2026, Women's Annual Day, 10:15 a.m., Speaker Ann Hale of Wood River District Association, Women's Auxiliary President. August the 12th, 2026, Union Quarter Corporate Prayer, service at 5:30 p.m. August the 15th, Union Shred Day, 8:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Also, the church annual picnic is at 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. August the 18th through the 20th, Baptist Fellowship Community Revival at UMBC Church. Dr. Jarvis Hanson, evangelist, is our guest speaker, Chicago, Illinois. August the 22nd and through the 29th, Saturday Men's Choir Rehearsal at 10:30 a.m. August the 28th, 2026, the Women's Auxiliary Cell Harbor Dinner. August the 30th, the 5th Sunday, Men's Choir are singing. There will not be Bible study Wednesday. And there will not be any Christian Growth Fellowship session in the month of August for men or women. Thanks, Pastor. Sunday School Commentary Notice. Beginning with the next publication cycle, effective September the 1st, 2026, Sunday School Department will no longer be placing a group order for the annual Sunday School. Sunday School. The digital edition are also available on their website. If you need, thank you for understanding and for your continued commitment to study God's Word. This announcement has been sent to all members via email, so you can just good day, ladies. For those of you who plan to participate in the choir for Women's Day, which is August the 9th, here are the following rehearsals. August the 2nd, immediately after morning service. Thank you, Sister Denise Jones. Pastor's 18th anniversary celebration, honoring Reverend David Wayne Brown, pastor. Hope Anchors the Soul, August 16th, 2 p.m. Celebrating 18 years of faithful leadership. A devoted shepherd, a servant leader, anchored in hope. New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, 701 East Oakland Avenue, Bloomington, Illinois, 61701. To God be the glory. Now, UMBC birthday announcements. We would like to say happy birthday to the following who are celebrating a birthday in the month of August. Raymond Allison Jr. Deacon Eugene Collier. Yeah. Mamie Dungeon. Yeah. Deacon Steve Gay. Yeah. Kenneth Johnson. And Deacon Henry Gay Sr., who will be turning 102 on August the 5th. Happy birthday to all. May God continue to bless you. At this time, we're going to turn it to the hands of the pulpit. Thank you.
announcement she was making when the mics kept cutting out was about the Sunday school commentaries. You can go to the Sunday school website and order. They do have the new commentaries, but that's about all they have. So if you desire to order a commentary, you can go to the Sunday School Publishing Board website and order one. They also have them in digital where you can download to your computer or laptop. I will look to the hills from which cometh my help. I looked at the mountains, I looked in the valleys, I looked in the oceans, I looked to my family, I looked to my friends, but what I found out was all of my help, all of my help comes from the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. To those on the outside, those of you on the inside, we wish to welcome you to our Sunday morning service where Pastor Dr. U.D. Wilbs is our pastor. At this time, we're going to ask those that can stand to stand as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Remain standing as we repeat the scriptures. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God, love others. You may be seated. At this time, we will have a selection from our choir.
Song goes out to every survivor, to everyone who's come through something that's so great. You didn't know if you would make it, but you did. To every believer who's been waiting, living his life, expecting the promises of God to come to pass. To everyone who's been holding out, standing strong. This is the start of your better days. Your time is here. Sunlight has come.
Sunlight has come. I'm out of the rain.
The my sister started my better days. It's been a long journey, but sunlight. Today is the start of my better days. Will you sing it with us? Decree it. Sunlight has come. I'm out of the rain. This is the start today. My better days. Yeah. Sunlight has come. I'm out of the rain. Today is the start of my better day. Better days. Yeah. Say it with us. Come on, come on. Decree it. Better days. Starting here, starting now. There's a new peace, new joy in my better days. New way of thinking in my better days. New deliverances in my better days. And we want to know one thing. Can you see it? Can you reach out and touch it?
Can you touch it?
Even though you've been in a storm, you passed the test. Can you hear it in the spirit? Can you feel it coming? It's so real, so real. And I know that joy, better days. You can lift your hands and praise Him now. Because He's here. He's right here. It's time to enjoy better days. Yeah. You've been waiting. You've been asking. You've been crying. You've been praying. You've been seeking. Now it's your time. Come on in. Welcome to your better days. Starting here. Starting now. Reach forward. Reach out. Step out. Yeah. Better days. Better days. I've gotten a new anointing. New praise. New ideas. New start. New mind. Yeah. Give Him glory for He gives us praises. Give Him honor. Thank You for my family. Better days. Come on, lift your hands and praise Him. Praise your way into Him. Come on in and walk into Him. Move into Him. Yes. Better days. It's your time, your seat, better days. I've been waiting for so long. Now it's time to enjoy, move into it. New areas I'm going to go into. Better days. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now if you will, just give Him the praises. Come on in. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Better days. Praise your way into it. Praise your way into it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Better days. You made it through the test. You didn't think you would. But He gave you strength. Now welcome into it. Welcome. Come on in. Come on in. Into your better days. Starting here. Starting now. Reach forward. Reach out. Step out. Give Him glory. give him honor, give him praise. He's worthy. His promise is the truth. His promise is the truth. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Better day. Welcome to my better day. It's here. Right here. Better day.
Days are coming, and I've learned in my few years shorter than Deacon Gaze that you don't necessarily look for better days here. We want them here, but there's a better day coming when we ain't gonna have no more pain, no more aches, no more heartache. And God gonna wipe away all of our tears. Better days. At this time, it's time for our offerings. If you have your tithes and offerings, you may put them in the trays. God is good. His blessings are forever and ever. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you are about to receive. We thank you for the blessings that you have given us. Father, we ask that thou would bless the offerings and the tithes that will be given this morning, that they may go for the uplifting and building of your kingdom. Touch each and every one of our hearts so that we may love you as you love us. We may bless you as you bless us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm going to ask both sides if you would stand and follow the directions of the ushers from the rear.
Thank you.
And sometimes if we don't confess it, we should confess that we all want prayer. We need to learn how to pray not only for ourselves, but for our fellow man, our brothers and sisters. We need to pray for our government, local, state, and national. For God is still in charge, no matter what people might say. If you desire to come to the altar, you may do so at this time. It's prayer time. If you want to stand where you're at, that's fine. Now, we know everyone can't stand, so if you know you can't stand, don't try. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for waking us up this morning, allowing us to get out of our beds, allowing us to be clothed in our right minds. Father, we thank you for the food that you blessed us with this morning. We thank you for our health and our strength. Father, we thank you just for allowing us to be able to open our eyes and see a brand new day that you have made. Touch our hearts so that we may learn to rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we ask for the blessings upon those that are sick today, that thou would be a healer. We pray for the blessings upon those that need comforting today. We pray for the blessings upon those that need strength today. Father, we pray for those that are out down, that you may lift them up. Father, we pray that you would just bless us with the presence of your Holy Spirit so that we may be able to be a light shining in this sea of darkness, that we may be the witnesses that you desire us to be, going out telling a dying world that only through Jesus Christ can you have everlasting life. Father, we just praying today that you would just touch our hearts so that we may just not be hearers of the word, but that we may be doers of the word also. We pray that thou would just bless our pastor and his family. Bless all the members of this church and all those that are gathered in your name today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, we turn service over to the hands of our pastor, Dr. U.D. Williams.
Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Come on, say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Somebody say he's worthy. This is the day that the Lord has made. Say it's good to see y'all again. Amen. Amen. The Lord is blessed, been on vacation and doing various things, and God is faithful. We thank God for each and every one of you. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for union. Mother Tucker, I believe, celebrated last week a birthday. Am I right? 91? Am I right at 91? Amen. Let's give Mother Tucker 91 years. Amen. 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 Bless her and thank her for 91 years. We want to honor her. Amen. 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 And we want to say it and not neglect it and honor and emphasize it. Deacon Henry Gaines Sr., Lord is blessing. He's working on 102 years. Amen. 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 And we have some others. I'm just going to come by your house. You don't have to worry about me. And drink your water. Amen. Just the faucet in the back. Just get some of that water that y'all drinking. So maybe I can get to that 90 and 100. Amen. Whatever's in your faucet, I want it. Amen. Amen. God is good and he's worthy of all the praise. Amen. Amen. Just want to remind, I was trying to make it work and want to say thank you to everybody for our Bible study, and people really connected in. It snuck up on me. We got real busy in July and August, and I was going to try to get Bible study this coming week, but we won't be able to have the Zoom Bible study on this coming week. I'll be teaching class in East Peoria at our state congress, which is kind of this, those who are not familiar with it, kind of like our state Sunday school, our Christian education, our learning, teaching, doctrine, those type of things at that on next week, August 3rd through the 7th. And speaking of that, tomorrow I will be the speaker for the opening session. So if you want to travel over there or connect, I want to let you know that I'll be over there. East Peoria Embassy Suites there, over in East Peoria Embassy Suites. And the service is at 7 p.m. in the conference center. Amen. 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 We want to keep, she is here this morning. She sent me a letter. She getting hugged and loved on. Sister Vicki Caldwell, we want to say thank you. We've been praying for her. Amen. Amen. She's back. Thank God for her. Sister Audrey Robinson, she sings in the choir. We want to keep her in our prayers. Amen. 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 And we thank God for each and every one of you. As you know, and I'm happy, that's probably why I'm so happy. If I could skip, I would skip. I am no longer the moderator of Wood River District Baptist Association. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord for tenure. Amen. My tenure is up. But I got a call and they have asked me, I was serving in the state. Now they have asked me to serve on the national level. So they're pulling me up to the National Baptist Moderator Auxiliary. And I have accepted that invitation and I will be working in our National Moderator Auxiliary. Amen. 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 We'll be working part of the team of Dr. Backus. Amen. So we thank God. The work continues. Didn't ask for it. But when the Lord asks you to serve, you serve. Amen. Amen. I don't go after and try to get elected for nothing and all that stuff. But when the Lord calls my name and touches somebody's heart, I'm willing to serve. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Amen. Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 35. Amen. Music ministry, they must miss me. They got some stuff sounding all good and everything. Amen. You missed me, didn't you? All right. Miss you too, Doc. All right. Amen. They can put a little song in for me. Amen. Amen. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. If y'all know that, if y'all can lift that with us. Amen. Amen. John chapter 6, verse 35. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is the answer
for the world.
For the world today.
Above him, there is no one.
Above him, there's no other.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
Oh, Jesus.
Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Go ahead on this round. Just the ball winners, wave your hand and say, oh Jesus.
Come on, let's worship.
Oh, for the world. Sing with us, sing with us. Lift it up, lift it up.
Above him there's no other.
Oh Jesus.
Jesus is
somebody's going to be There's some stuff at your job.
Jesus,
things are going through your heart,
everybody.
Just go ahead and lift it up. Put it on Jesus' shoulders. He can bear it.
Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Those who are able, Gospel of John, chapter 6. If you look at that verse 35.
Jesus is the way.
Verse 35.
Jesus,
King James Version is what I shall be reading from. If yours sounds different, that may be the reason why. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Starting at verse 35. The key verse is verse 35. John chapter 6, verse 35. King James Version, if yours sounds different, that may be the reason why. Are you with me? John chapter 6, verse 35 says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall what? Never hunger. You see that? And he that believeth on me shall what? Never thirst. Somebody with it already. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe me not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from him, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Watch verse 39 and 40. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I shall lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God.
Jesus is the way.
I want to share with you today, with Jesus, you'll never hunger again. With Jesus, you'll never hunger again. If you have your Bible app, if you have it saved already on your mobile device, your Android or iPad, if you can look at verse 35 there, key verse of chapter 6, Gospel of John, says this word, beloved. It says, and Jesus said unto them, look what he says. He says, I am what? The bread of life. He that cometh to me shall what? Never hunger. And watch this. And he that believeth on me shall what? Never thirst. So there's two things here. He identifies himself. He says, I am the bread of life. Then he says, if you come to him, you shall what? Never hunger. And if you believe in him, you shall what? Never thirst. If you look at that text, if you need something today, that's all you need. You just need to know who Jesus is. He's the bread of life, and I'm about to explain that to you. And then when you connect yourself with him, when you come to him, you'll never hunger. And watch, when you thirst, if you believe in him, you'll never thirst. Yeah, this text here, this passage of scripture, it speaks to the deepest hunger of your soul and human being. Jesus, as I stated and I'm emphasizing, is saying, he said, I am the bread of life. Then he said, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. Remember Nicodemus when he asked the question? He said, how can a man be born again? Jesus said, you don't understand, because Nicodemus said, how can he enter again into his mother's womb? And Jesus had explained to him, as the scriptures reveal and the Holy Spirit revealed to us, is that when we have a relationship and connection with God, it's not about the physical, it's about the spiritual work of God. God can do anything with the physical, but he also is working in realms and areas that we cannot see with the naked eye. There are words here that Jesus said that is not just from him as a teacher or a philosopher. These are words, and he is declaring himself as the Son of God. He says, I am, making a claim that is so daring and so fearless that it demands us to look at this passage and take our attention to it. Hunger today, if you look at our nation, it grips our nation. Not merely hunger for the belly, and that's important. We should tend to those. Those are real demands, and those cares should receive our attention. But I'm speaking today, and Jesus is sharing the topic of spiritual hunger. Hunger for meaning. Hunger for dignity. Hunger for power. Hunger to know that your life matters. Hunger for authenticity. Can I go to church and they be authentic? Live and sing and share according to the Christ way. The hunger to know that you are known and loved by God. Doesn't matter what everybody else says, but a hunger to know that God truly loves you and is on your side. Somebody here is looking for deliverance from something. Health stuff. Hunger for a cure. Hunger for respect. Hunger for a lot of things. You have the things that you are hungry for. But the world offers many answers to your hunger. Look at this. The world offers wealth. Money, money, money. The world offers power and position. And let's be honest, some of us can be distracted by money, power, and position. The world offers pleasure. The world offers status and recognition. But women and men of God, the beloved, pursue these things their entire life, only at some point to arrive at the end and feel empty. You can have power. You can chase pleasure, you can chase status, but at the end you still will have a void, an emptiness in your life at some point. Wondering what it all meant for you to spend all them hours for work. What did it mean for you to chase all the dreams and never be satisfied? Jesus offers something different for you and for me. I'm not just talking with you, I'm talking about myself too. I've spent some long hours at night. I've spent some long days. I've traveled a lot of miles on the highway and in the air and on the train trying to accomplish worldly goals and trying to do worldly things. But as I get closer to God, it's not about those things down here. It's about having a right relationship with God. There's a song, only what you do for Christ will last. There's nothing wrong with having position. There's nothing wrong with having influence. What I'm saying is we have to really ask ourselves as believers what really matters. Jesus offers us something different than power of the world and wealth of the world. Jesus, he offers himself. He offers us to leave what can be found on the dinner table and embrace what can be found on the shepherd's table. And he does so with the simplicity and the power of this image that he presents to us, that he is bread. The first thing that I look at as we read this passage, he said, unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The first thing is hunger. Let's talk about hunger. What are we really seeking? I'll be honest with you. I get hungry physically, and the first thing that comes to my mind are Cheetos. And I've discovered that's not the best thing to grab if I'm trying to be healthy. The second thing is chocolate in cake, cookies, something. But I've discovered that I have to think about when I'm hungry what I grab.
because it may be satisfying. I love taking the orange puffs and Cheetos and all of that dust on it and licking my fingers. I love taking the chocolate and licking my thumb. I love licking, just between you and me, the fork with all the icing on it. I love that. But as I think about my health and my body, that's not the best thing to grab when I'm hungry. Think about this. When you're hungry, and I'm not talking about physical hungry, but when you are hungry and you need a peace of mind, when you are hungry and you need some joy, when you are hungry, you need to be lifted up, when you just need a pat on the back and nobody's around, ask yourself the question, are you grabbing things that make you feel comfortable and feel good, or are you grabbing things that make you spiritually healthy? Let me be clear about something. When Jesus speaks of hunger and thirst, he is not speaking primarily about physical hunger. The crowd had just been fed. Jesus had multiplied the loaves and fishes. Remember? Two fishes, five loaves of bread. Their bellies was full. Yet Jesus says to them, do not work, do not labor for the food that perishes, that molds, that dies, that goes away, but for the food that endures until eternal life. I got it. I cannot be worried about my temporary satisfaction, because the moment that you go get that snack, the moment you go get that bread, the moment you go to that restaurant, at some point you're going to have to go make another order. There's a difference between the hunger for the body and the hunger for the soul and your spiritual hunger. The body hungers for bread. The soul hungers for purpose and fulfillment and even comfort. They call it comfort food, but all comfort food, you know, them potatoes and fried chicken and greens and all that, I've noticed it's not much comfort. It just put me to sleep. The body thirsts for water. The soul thirsts for meaning, for going beyond the ordinary limits in life, for connection to something that's greater than ourselves. We need something deeper than something that we can place on the dinner table. Remember? You remember, right? Samson, Judges 16. He was once a mighty deliverer of Israel, and he was betrayed by Delilah and captured. She revealed what his weakness was. The Philistines mocked him and gouged out his eyes, imprisoned him. And then once powerful, he started having to grind grain as a common whole household task in biblical times. I'm talking about a mighty warrior that people feared. And then now he is grinding grain. It's physical demanding. It takes taking orders. As Samson was reduced to grinding grain, and it represents that Samson, he lost his dignity, his pride, his status, his power. It was stripped. And the reality, it was all because of his captivity and because someone knew his weakness. In contrast sharply with Samson's earlier life, he had strength, but because someone figured out what his weakness was, he became vulnerable and had to grind grain. Has there anybody in here, you've told some things to some folk and they betrayed your trust? Is anybody in here, you've done some things and you've been some places and it just didn't turn out the way you want to, and it seems like you could be elevated, but there's been distractions that have taken you to places? This is a biblical point, that our hope shouldn't be rooted on our circumstances. Our hope shouldn't be on if we are grinding grain or not, or if we are in a powerful position, or if we have status. Our circumstances and our praise and our thanksgiving, and the point that's being made is that our hope should not be on the things of this earth, but our hope should be in our God. The God who keeps us, the God who sustains us, the God who fulfills us. That's where our reliance should be. Because as I look at this world, it's going to rain one second. The next second, it's going to be sunny. Then it's going to be windy. It may even have some hailstorms. All in the same day. But God is faithful in it. Can I get at least two witnesses over here? God is faithful. No matter what's going on, God is faithful. Even when we're not, God is faithful. What I'm talking about is hunger, when we want and we desire something. And think about what happens when you eat bread. It is broken. It is consumed and it becomes a part of who you are. Your body takes it in and transforms it into energy that produces strength and life for you. And Jesus is saying, that is what I want to do for your soul. When you bring me in, I have been broken for you. I have been taken in for you by your faith. I become part of you and you become a part of me. I transform you. Jesus is saying, I transform you from the inside out. There's a profound mystery here. When you eat bread, the bread ceases to be bread anymore. It becomes your flesh. It becomes your blood. It becomes your life. And when you come to Christ in faith, Christ does not cease to be Jesus. He doesn't cease to be Christ. He still is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He becomes, Christ becomes your life. He becomes your getting up morning. He becomes your noonday. He becomes your evening. As Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but who? Christ who lives within me. And the life, he said, in Galatians 2 and 20, he said, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, and gave himself for me. So when you hunger, what is Jesus saying? When you have hunger and you have desire, when you have hunger and you need things, he's saying he is the bread. If you take him in and you allow him to come into your life, he becomes a part of you and you become a part of him. And whatever your cares are, he fulfills that if you're open and obedient to that. The next thing is that there's a promise in here. There's a promise. It says, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. Isn't that what it says? 35, it says there, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never what? Hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never what? Thirst. We've said it and we'll say it again. God, through Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, through God, they are the same. Say, you shall never what? You shall never thirst, and you shall never hunger if you come to him and believe in him. That's a promise there. Everything is covered. All you have to do is believe. Can I get in your business now? Do you believe that God is able? Do you know that he works miracles? Not that he can work miracles, but he works miracles. I'm a testimony. I've stood right there and I've seen him. I've stood back and watched God work, thinking something going to turn out one way, but God put his hand in it and it turns out another way. Thought I was going to die. Thought I was going to fail, but he lifts us up. This is about the absolute promise. This is something that's not shaken. It's not stirred. You can depend on the promise of God. Never hunger and never thirst. This is a promise. He didn't say that you will not hunger all the time or you will hunger less. He didn't say you will hunger sometimes. Mondays, Tuesdays, you won't get hungry. Wednesday, you want a little snack. He didn't say that. He said you'll never hunger if you come to him. He didn't say occasionally you'll get thirsty. Every now and then you'll want something to drink. He said, if you believe in me, you shall never thirst. Shall not hunger, shall never thirst. This is the language that Jesus used, and this is complete satisfaction, that if you come to Jesus with everything that you have and you put your hand in his hand, and it does not matter how long you've been living, it does not matter how long you've been in church, because all of us are human and we need something deeper, we need something bigger, we need something more profound than ourselves, and that thing is Jesus. Jesus makes the difference. Does not matter how strong you are, there's always somebody stronger. Does not matter how smart you are, there's always someone smarter. Does not matter how fast you are, there's always somebody gonna break your record at some point. So we must be careful here. This does not mean that the Christian will never experience physical hunger or thirst, nor does it mean that the Christian will never experience sadness or loss or difficulties. Can I do a check of the room? Has anybody ever had some bad days? Anybody been sad? Anybody been hurt? Oh, anybody want to cuss? Anybody dusted and disgusted? Come on now. Talk to me now. But I'm talking about, didn't God bring you out of that moment? Didn't he keep you out of that moment? Didn't he lift you up and carry you? Somebody look at me. I'm in that moment right now, Reverend. I'm at that moment. Let God deliver you. He is the I am. You'll never hunger. You'll never thirst. The point is that you've been mad before. You've been sad before. You thought it wasn't going to make it before. And he brought you out of before. He's bringing you out now. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Does not mean you won't have some bad days. The apostles were hungry, weren't they? They were beaten, weren't they? Jesus went to the cross. The apostles were in prison. Yet they testified that they had found in Christ a satisfaction that was beyond their circumstances. I think of the martyrs of the other church, older church, those who had died because of their beliefs. They were attacked because they simply believed in Jesus. I think of those who were thrown in the lion's den. I think of those who were burned at the stake. I think of those who were crucified upside down simply because they called on the name of Jesus. But every external measure, everything that happened on the outside, their hunger and thirst for the Lord, it never failed. So when I think about me, I have a thirst for the Lord. I have a hunger for the Lord, and I can't let it fail. The little stuff that I'm going through, it's going to be all right because God is with us. And the things that those who have been, think of your mama, think of your granddaddy, think of an uncle. Think of somebody that you've known that they put their life, they weren't perfect, but they put their life in the Lord's hands, and God delivered and transitioned them and kept them. They had a testimony because they trusted God. But keep in mind, that's their testimony. God is allowing you to live life so you have your testimony. You have a testimony. Didn't God bring you out of some stuff? Didn't God allow you to dodge some bullets literally and figuratively? Didn't God allow you to come out and walk out of some accidents? Come on, somebody. You ought to shout, thank you, when you think about what God has done. You ain't going to tell it, I'm going to tell it. I've been to the hospital, and that's what my testimony is. I didn't stay there. I wasn't rolled out. I was a visitor. I walked out of that hospital. God is good. You ought to praise him. Every time you roll by the hospital, you ought to say, thank you, Lord. Hello, hospital. Some of us so high up on ourselves and go by a cemetery every day. You ought to wave at that cemetery and say, thank you, Jesus, for your blood dying on Calvary's cross. I'm not there today. Should have been dead, sleeping in my grave. But God's grace and his mercy, we should thank God for the little things. I think of the saints of the old, those who we know who were mothers and fathers of the church, who ought to be examples for us. I think of those saints, of all the things that they went through with. Allowed us to have some paint on the walls of the church and carpet on the floors of the church. I say thank you for their sacrifices. I also think of today of what people are going through, because we always talk about the old, but we don't talk about what people are going through right now. I thank God for the college students. They're trying to figure things out in life, trying to get themselves prepared for life and living off of that ketchup and water. Used to be my spaghetti sauce. Anybody know about that? I couldn't afford the drink, so I would ask for water and lemons. And I would take the free sugar on the table. Come on, somebody. And I look back at it. I thank God for the college students who are going through the transition. And as we have learned that God is faithful, they are going through a transition just to reinforce the God they already know. That is keeping them. I praise God for their experience. The young person who goes to school and who is bullied, who heard of an accident, who saw a fight and was able to walk home unscathed. I thank God for them, because God is faithful. Thank God for the single mother who's trying to balance life all by herself, and she's trying to make it. She should have some assistance. Somebody should be there, and they're not there for whatever the reason, but she testified that God has been there. I thank God, what I'm saying, for the testimony of the saints. I thank God for the men who are trying to be fathers, who are trying to step up, who are trying to be with their children. I thank God for them too. They have a testimony. We all have a testimony that God can keep us in the midst of whatever circumstance we are in. Look back at your life. You need to embrace your hunger and abundant living that you have through Jesus Christ. Jesus is able to satisfy whatever you have, whatever hunger you have in your lifetime. You can testify that my God did it. Anybody have that testimony right now? Look at some things. My God did it. You ought to say that. Because you're looking at some stuff and say, my God did it. You know what? I ain't got to go too far. I woke up this morning. My God, He did it. I had a cup of coffee, ran some water, and I didn't have to worry about if I got a bill to pay. My God did it. I was able to kick my feet off the bed and walk where I wanted to go. Didn't need no assistance. God is able. My God did it. Anybody got some my God's did it? You got about 15 seconds. Go ahead and look at your life and say, my God did it. My God did it. My God did it. Oh, see, you catching it right now. Look at some stuff in your life that God has carried you through and say, my God did it. He sustains you. Jesus, a bread that sustains you. A water that quenches your thirst. Because if I ask some of y'all want a piece of bread, you'll look at me straight in my eyes and say, I need more than that. Reverend, you just going to have some bread. We have a little conference or something like that, and all I got is bread out there. Y'all look at me a little crazy. Bagels or not, you want a little bit more than bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he's the bread that will sustain you and keep you. Won't you have him? You won't hunger no more. The last thing I want to do and talk about is that after you hunger and after you see the promise, is that you can come and believe. This is not for those who've been in church. I'm talking about those who want relationship with Jesus Christ. He says, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. Notice the two conditions, coming and believing. Do you see that? There's two things there. There's first coming and then there's believing. These things are active. You have to come. That requires moving. It requires doing something. We always want God to do something, and he will do it, and he is doing it. But also in the partnership and relationship with God, there's some things we must do. And we must come and believe. Somebody said, I got stuff falling all apart in my life, Reverend. I got this problem. I got that problem. After all, I got a test to go to and take and see what's going on with my back, with my leg, with my knee, everything. All this stuff is going on in my life. I got some stuff. But you got to believe that your God is faithful, that he's able. And even if it's some news you don't like, you're still going to trust him. Because he said, you'll never thirst, you'll never hunger. You got to come to him and you have to believe in him. It has to be an active belief. Not just when it feels good, not when everybody is clapping, not when everybody praying, not just on Sunday morning service, when it's stormy outside, when life is terrible. You got to say, I'm going to live for the Lord and I'm going to stay in his hand. To come to Jesus means to turn from your own way and walk toward him. Not about you, but it's about God. It means to leave behind idols and things that you worship, but worship the one and only true and living God. Stop pursuing wealth, but pursue God. If you pursue God, the wealth will come. Stop pursuing after status. If you pursue God, status will come. Stop pursuing for pleasure. If you pursue God, pleasure will come. I admit, I'm not going to tell you all the stuff I did, but I've done some stuff. And I've done some stuff for pleasure, and I noticed some things that only took me so far. But you know the biggest pleasure that I get from the Lord calling me? When folk change their lives. When they change their lives for the Lord. when there's somebody I meet and they mean as a rattlesnake. But I start talking to them about Jesus and start doing what the Lord told them, start loving on them, not for a personal agenda, but just doing what the Lord say. And then they start speaking. Then we start having a conversation. Then I stand up, start liking that person. And being around that person. That's the biggest pleasure, watching the gospel of Jesus Christ work in people's lives. We try to get pleasure from things that fade away, but the biggest pleasure should be watching how God works and transforms, not just others, but also ourselves. In Galatians 5, 16 through 30, Paul writes to believers in Galatia, and he shows them the difference between living in the flesh and living in the spirit. He explains to Galatia that the sinful nature pulls against the spirit of God. That's why the preacher, a good preacher, a faithful preacher, needs to speak and preach against sin. Because if you are living in the flesh, which is a life that is led by sin, it goes against, it fights against the spirit of God. You may see some things that God or hear some things, but you're not going to obey because you're led by the flesh and not by God's spirit. So a Christian cannot simply follow every desire they want and still walk in a way that pleases God. You have to be a believer, and when you're called, you do what God says do. And I'm going to testify, when you live for the Lord, you're going to walk in some rooms, folk going to walk away from you. They're going to avoid that because they want to live in the flesh more so than they do the spirit. That there are people who spend years chasing the world's promises. There are people who take decades trying to satisfy themselves. They're trying to be successful in their business. They're trying to be recognized in society. And they live a life that is pleasured by sin, meaning living against God's way. And finally, they reach a point where they say the most powerful words ever. I need you. Lord, I need you. That's when the testimony comes. Lord, I chased after that status at work. I still realize I'm empty. I chased after being the best parent I could, but I realize I'm still lonely. I chased after being the best this and that, but Lord, I know I need you. Every hour, I need you. I'm still hungry. Everybody gets to that point. I'm still thirsty. Lord, I need you. I need something more. I'm tired of living this life that I get a high and then I get low. I stay low, then I get a high. Then I get low, then I get a high. I need something that once I get just a little dab will do me. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Every hour. They say, Jesus, I'm coming to you and I believe in you and I'm turning away from being walking in my own way, but I'm turning away from my sin and I'm asking you to be my Lord and I'm asking you to be my Savior and I trust you with my life. And to believe in Jesus means to trust Jesus. Not merely listen about him, not just go about things that talk about him, but to actually try him out. Yeah. Will you try my Jesus? Have you tried my Jesus? And those who have tried them won't he satisfy you. Don't just merely talk about Jesus, but follow Jesus. I believe that you are able and claim that he is able and say that he's able because it does not matter your circumstance. It matters your faith. Say, I believe in you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. No matter what I'm feeling like, I'm going to stay right here and stand on trust in you. I believe that you rose from the dead. I believe that you are alive and present and able to sustain me. I'm trusting you with my life. That's what it's all about. It's not a blind faith. It's not emotional faith. But it's knowing that God is able. As I close this today, I'm just saying that Jesus simply tells us that he wants us to take something that's to be placed on the dinner table and leave and go to the shepherd's table. In Psalm 23, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green. Pastors, y'all help me. He what? Restoreth my soul. Jesus takes from something that is placed on a dinner table and satisfies the belly. He takes us to something that comes from the shepherd's table and satisfies our heart. The world is full of bread that perishes. Riches, they perish. Beauty, it fades. Can I ask you a question? Are those your teeth? Power is lost. Fame is forgotten. Every earthly thing that you can hunger for will eventually turn to dust. Is there somebody that needs some glasses now? Somebody need to go get a stronger prescription? God is just telling you, this earthly tabernacle is fading. You need something stronger. You need something deeper. Somebody want to go run, but you're walking. You're running in your head, but you're walking. Just, oh, hey, I got an amen on that. It's just reminding us that we're getting older. The things that happen, that we fade. It doesn't matter how old you are. You're fading. You need something deeper. And that deeper is Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. This is a promise that you can rely on. Jesus will never be like a Fortune 500 company and lay you off. Jesus will never say something and then leave it undone. This is a call. This is the gospel. Come, believe, and be satisfied. I'm talking about the Son of God. A man named Jesus. Jesus was arrested after the Last Supper. And he was betrayed by Judas. Anybody in here ever been betrayed? Jesus was betrayed. He was brought before the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, who sentenced him to death. Somebody thought it was in that he had to be crucified for you and for me. And they dragged him to the place of the skull, to that place called Golgotha, for you and for me. He was crucified between two criminals. And I'm so glad that he died for you and for me. He spoke these words, I am the bread of life. If you just come to me, you'll never hunger. If you just believe in me, you'll never thirst. Is that all right? That means when you have a headache, call on the name of Jesus. When you have an ache in your body, call on the name of Jesus. When you have some financial issues, call on the name of Jesus. When you have relationship issues, call on the name of Jesus. When you have issues, and your issues have issues, and those issues have issues, call on the name of Jesus. And I've stopped by this morning to say he's able, he's able, he's able to be bread where you don't have to hunger anymore. He said, it is finished. He said, it is finished. And then there was darkness that came over the land, and the temple veil, it tore, giving us access directly to Jesus. He died, he died, he died for you and for me. And I'm glad that he died. He died, he died for your sin. He died for your mishaps. He died for your mistakes. He died for your attitude problem. He died for your laziness. He died for your brokenness. I'm glad that he died. He was there all night Saturday. But early, 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 early Sunday morning, he got up on the third day. Women visiting the tomb, wondering where the body can be found. But the Bible says that there was an angel that said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? And I'm glad he is alive. Anybody know that he's alive? He's alive. He's alive. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Call his name. Jesus. Call his name. Jesus. Call his name. Jesus. Call his name. Jesus. Mary's baby. Jesus. Bright morning star. Jesus. Rose of Sharon. Jesus. Great getting up morning. Jesus. 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 Call his name. The bread of life. Call his name. And surrender to his name. You'll discover you'll never hunger. And if you believe, you'll never thirst. So there's somebody here today who's discovered through the sharing of this passage of scripture that you do have a hunger. We're not talking about just physical hunger, but you have a spiritual need. You have a void in your life that can't be satisfied through earthly means. You need a Savior by the name of Jesus. Receive him now, my brother. Receive him now, my sister. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister, that would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Will you please stand today? Is there one that would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Is there one today do not have a church home, but you would like this to be your church home? We invite you to come and connect with this body of believers. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? Home today. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? Give life to Christ. Come join and connect with this body of believers. Is there one? You may be seated in the presence of our God. Amen. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your time. At this time, we're going to commune and fellowship together in our holy communion on today. Amen. How many know that it's August already? Amen. Amen. Time is not waiting on us. That's why we need Jesus. In this world where we hunger for peace and we hunger for stability, we find that through Jesus. Amen. Well, is there anyone who has not been served? You would like the elements and you have not been served. Is there anyone this morning who has not been served and you would like to be served? Amen. We invite the deacons to come.
From 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at the 23rd verse. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Such is the reading of God's word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for him going to the cross and dying for our sins. We thank you for allowing him to bear our burdens on the cross. We thank you for allowing him to rise that third day and go on back to the right hand of God. We thank you for allowing him go and prepare a place for us, that we may be with him someday. Father, we thank you and ask for thy blessings upon this bread, which represents his broken body, and upon this fruit of the vine, which represents his shedded blood. Father, we just ask that we would touch each and every one of our hearts so that we may find ourselves worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There's two things when we take this together. First, we're saying that we are believers in Jesus Christ. What that means is that you accepted that Jesus died on Calvary's cross, that he was buried, and he rose again. You believe in that. You believe that he's Savior. But the next thing means that you are living that life, that that is a standard of living Christ way, not the world way, not other ways, not the ways of the world, but the ways of Christ. And we as believers are fellowshipping together in that belief and remembrance what Christ has done. Let us partake of wafer, which represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Represents the bread and body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In like manner, fruit of the vine, grape juice, represents the blood of our Lord Christ. Blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ represents the blood of our Lord for the remission of our sins. Let us partake together. Amen. Will you please stand as we remember who Christ is at the cross? We have our containers. They have the white containers for us. Remember who Christ has done. This is just not him, but this is a faith statement. Let us sing together. Oh, at the cross, where our first and the burden, it rolled. To, but we do have our various homes, places to share Jesus, not just through words, but the way we live. You are now dismissed. Go in peace. Go with God. Amen. Amen.